Blog Talk Radio.
Live and worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Joseph Duncan, and this is Vendetta Pro Radio. Our live call-in number, area code 646-929-2066. Hit us up. Hit option number one on your phone if you've got something to say, comment, a question, an insult, whatever. We're good boys. We can take it. And speaking of which, let's bring on right now, he's the two-time former Vendetta Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, ladies and gentlemen, Billy Blade. Billy, are you with us?
Hey, what's up, guys? We're coming live from the Vendetta Pro Radio Studios. Joseph, let's say this week, our studios are in San Luis Obispo, California. I'm gonna keep bringing up different cities because that's what we do on Vendetta Pro Radio.
All right. Well, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, live call number is area code 646-929-2066. On the line with us, going to bring her in right now. She is a former TNA Knockout, and let's go ahead and bring her on right now. Andrea, are you with us?
I am. How are you all doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I can't wait for this coming week. I got some training to do before I head out to Vegas and whip some ass.
That is awesome. Yeah, by the way, Andrea, Rosie, lot of love, but we'll just call you Andrea if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. There's no love left. I've lost all my love.
Exactly. But you know what? And we have a couple wrestlers that actually wrestled for us, and they've lost 200 pounds, and, it's a transformation, and you have done amazing with what, it's a transformation, if I could say, and we look forward to having you at, CAC and pro wrestling and whatnot.
Absolutely, yeah, it's been a road, it's been tough, but you don't get anywhere, nothing worth having isn't worth the fighting for, so, I've busted my butt in the gym, in the kitchen, and done what I needed to do to get where I need to be. I wasn't where I wanted to be, so I decided, hell, it's time to batten down the hatches and attack this. And so now I'm here, and I'm really excited for the Cauliflower Alley Club 50 years, wow. And I'm also excited to be part of Vendetta Pro. So, I can't wait to get out there and just show you guys, what I've done with myself.
And you know what? I told you earlier, and I'm gonna go ahead and let you know. You're asking me like what you're gonna be doing for Vendetta Pro Wrestling, and all the companies involved, and the Cauliflower Alley Club, and we call our show the Casino Royale. I mean, it makes sense. We're in Vegas, casinos, Royale, whatnot. But a lot of people, Joseph Duncan, by the way, is our co-host as well. He is our commissioner for Vendetta Pro Wrestling. And Luna Vachon was a really good friend of a lot of wrestlers for Vendetta Pro Wrestling, including myself.
Absolutely.
She saved me. I mean, like, I don't know how many years ago, but, like, I was having a problem at Call for Alley Club. You know, there's a lot of drinking goes on and, you know, whatnot. And she was one of my saviors, and she was one of my mentors, I guess you can say, when it comes to Vendetta Pro Wrestling and myself and whatnot. So when she passed away, it really hit myself really hard, and as well as Vendetta Pro Wrestling. So I decided to do something for Vendetta Pro Wrestling as well as Luna Vachon. And we called it the Luna Vachon Lunacy Cup.
Okay.
Well, that started, you know, a couple weeks after she passed away. So we've been doing it in August, September of every year. But this year we actually are going to be bringing it to the Call for Alley Club convention, you know, our wrestling shows. We're going to be bringing it to the Lunacy Cup, which, you know, it's a cup. And the winner receives, you know, honestly, they receive the pride of, you know, becoming the winner of the Luna Vachon Lunacy Cup. I want to let you know, I was talking to you early about this, and you didn't know your match. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and put it on the radio to make it a kind of a bigger story than it would be if I just text to you, you know? So
absolutely.
So we are actually doing the 2015 Luna Vachon Lunacy Cup at Call for Alley convention at the shows.
Awesome.
And I have you in the match as well as Santana Garrett. And we're going to go to Santana Garrett because I've heard you've had a few good matches with her.
Yeah, I absolutely love kicking her around the ring.
That's what I've heard. Rosa Negra.
I love kicking
her
around the ring too. She's a little ball
exactly.
of fast.
See, so this is going to get even better, okay? And I've also heard, I don't know if she's going to be a part of it, but we've put out the invitation. We're hoping that she's going to be able to make it. But Awesome Kong.
Really? She
so,
and I have battled around the world. So that is that's an interesting little getup you got going there. So that's exciting
exactly.
for me.
So, and the great news is... Butcher Vachon, which is Luna Vachon's father, will give the award, you know, will give the cup to the winner of the Call for Alley Club, or the Lunacy Cup, I guess you can say. And you are going to be one of the people involved in that, and that's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
We look forward to having you, and let me ask if you don't mind, because, you know, let's be honest, this is public radio. We really don't have a studio. You know, there's a lot of radio stations, you know, that use the same system as we do, and they claim to have a studio. We don't have a studio.
Yeah.
I'm talking on my cell phone. I'm driving down the street, you know. I have a earpiece, so that, yeah, that's you know, I'm trying to be safe.
As long as you're safe, right? As long as you're safe.
Exactly. However, came from, because we actually have a tag team that's been at Call for Alley Club and at the conventions, and they're amazing. And they're called the Los Bendejos.
Yeah.
And they are from the 3D Academy, the Dudley Boys training facility in Florida. Can you let
yes,
me know, you know, can you let all the fans know where you came from and, you know, give them all the information that maybe they might not know where, you know, Andrea or Rosie Lot of Love came from?
Well, actually, I had started out at a tiny little warehouse school in Orlando where Devon had often come to, you know, train because they had gotten out of the WWE in 2005 and they didn't have any place to roll around. So, you know, you gotta stay in ring shape. You don't want to get rusty. Even when you're a professional, you still have to go and train. So he started coming to this school, and I think it was probably my first or second month there, he had started coming in and working with me, and he beat the ever-living dog crap out of me for a good while until he finally decided, you know, he wanted to open up his own place, and he asked if I would come with him to the school. So obviously he saw something in myself, and I also trained with Leva, Blue Pants. She is known in NXT. She and I came from there, and they drug us to the school where they opened up the Team 3D Academy in Kissimmee. And we were part of the original students, the inaugural students, myself, Leva, and the Vendejos, of course. I mean, Rios came a little bit later, but Cruz was definitely a part of the originals. And we all trained together. Bubba and Devon beat the crap out of us on a daily basis. Our conditioning coach, Coach Dan Carr, who's the creator of the original American Gladiators, was our, you know, our performance and conditioning coach. And he would get us in the, into the shape we needed to be in. And then once we got in the ring, we would, you know, learn the psychology. And Bubba would work with us on vignettes and stuff, and, you know, just being able to use psychology and speaking. And Devon would stretch the crap out of us. And we'd have people come in and work with us there. You know, we'd have guest trainers, Haku and his sons, Tavita, who is Camacho in the WWE, and then Tama Tonga now, who's with New Japan, they trained with us as well. They were part of the originals. And so Haku would come down a lot, and Haku taught me how to chop. And we also would have, like, Homicide and Johnny Devine, who I saw is going to be at the convention and in the show, which I'm really excited. I haven't seen him in such a long time. He would come down and stretch us as well. And I can't explain to you the amount of training we received from them and the knowledge that was bestowed upon us. And we were never allowed out of the school to represent the school unless they would put their stamp of approval on us, which is always good because, you know, sometimes you go to different places and you see these kids on these shows, and I call them kids because I'm 30 years old now. But you got these younger guys and girls coming out of schools, and it's like, have you trained? Because I wasn't allowed to come out of school until I could work a full match, you know. And people have their ways of training people, but we definitely, the first thing we learned when we got there was I feel that that's gotten me pretty far in my career, and I'm really humbled, and I really respect the fact that you guys have chosen to put me in this Lunacy Cup. It's awesome. I can't believe it. Thank you.
Well, you know, you mentioned something that, I mean, Joseph Duncan is one of my co-hosts. He's a commissioner. He also does all our PR work. I mean, Vendetta Pro Wrestling, we're nobodies. I mean, we've been around for a long time now. I built the company out of respect. You know, I trained with a trainer, Jesse Hernandez and Bill Anderson, Tom Howard. They trained UPW. They trained EWF. They trained so many stars that are, you know, stars today. And that's where I came from. And you mentioned respect, and that's funny because, like, every show we bring up the respect issue because, you know, I have a lot of disgruntled ex-employees, I guess you can say, you know, ex-students, because I have a school that I run and, you know, where they decided to run their own company, you know, whatnot. And maybe you can, Amy, touch subjects, you know, maybe touch a little bit about respect. I mean, you just mentioned respect. I mean, you know where you came from, and you're never going to forget where you came from. And I think a lot of people nowadays forget that. Am I correct?
Absolutely. You wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you probably have experienced it, but a lot of people would be surprised at the amount of disrespect that occurs in a locker room. And I think 90% of it is that they just haven't been brought up the right way. They don't know. Like, when you walk into a locker room, it doesn't matter who the person is or who you think it is. You know, if it's little Johnny's mom sitting in the corner, I'm going to go up and shake her hand because I was brought into this business. I started where I started. I've gotten to where I've gotten. I've fallen. I've gotten back up again. And it's only through the people who are there with me and my trainers and, you know, my comrades that, you know, are in the business with me, my brothers and sisters, that I've been able to do what I do. You go into that ring and you're not just in there by yourself. It's not to get yourself over. It's to get this show over, to get the match over, and to get each other over. And a lot of people go into business for themselves these days, and just because they think they're the next John Cena or whatever you call it, you know, it's sad because I go out there because I love doing what I do. I'm a performer. I have a performance background. I have an athletic background. It's the best of both worlds. I go out there. I enjoy kicking ass. I enjoy the feeling. I love my fans. I absolutely love them. I hate when people go, oh, these marks are bothering me. I was like, those marks are paying your bills, brother. You better pay attention to that. You know, it's a respect issue. I respect the fans. I respect the promoters. I respect the guys and girls that are out there, you know, every weekend, every day, putting their lives on the line. You know, it upsets me when I'm in the locker room, especially as a girl. It happens a lot. guys will walk in, they'll be like, yo, what's up, brother? And they'll shake hands, and then they'll just walk by me. My favorite thing to do is to get up and say, hey, I think you missed me. My name's Andrea. Nice to meet you. And
I see that
look at
all
out of
the
face.
Time, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I see that all the time. And it's sad because, like, they don't even realize. They can see you and be like, oh, well, she's a nobody. But you came from one of the best schools in the nation, the 3D Academy. And I pushed that really well because the whole respect issue, I mean, I'm getting, you know, some of my former employees decided they're going to start a wrestling promotion, you know, and start it in the same area that I run, you know.
Oh.
And unfortunately, it's yeah, exactly. I mean, could you imagine if they did that to Bubba or Devon, you know?
they wouldn't.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know.
I know.
One thing I always tell Devon is I talk to him frequently. He and I are still really close. I still go to the school and train every once in a while. And I say to him, I was like, he's like, how's it going? I was like, I'm having a problem with so-and-so. And he's like, you know, that never would happen if I was there. And I was like, no, it wouldn't. But you know what? I'm a big girl. I got to learn to stand on my own 2 feet. I got to put my big girl panties on and do what I do, you know. It's definitely it's a different story when they're around. And then when people find out who I was trained by, then they're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
no problem.
Yeah,
huh? No problem then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no,
I try
totally,
not to do
yeah.
that, though. I mean, I want to get my respect. I want to earn respect the way that, you know, I should earn it, and not by, you know, name-dropping who I was trained
no,
by.
You know
but
what?
But if it needs to happen, I can whip your ass.
For sure. And you know what? I didn't know you were trained by there, honestly. Like, you hit me up. We've been talking for, you know, 2-3 weeks, maybe a month now.
Yeah.
I didn't know you're from the 3D Academy. I know a few people from there. One of our good friends in Vendetta Pro Wrestling is a guy named Ricardo Rodriguez or Jesus Rodriguez, and he's really big on the Bendejos, and, you know, and I say Bendejos, and that's a bad word, unfortunately, for you Spanish, but, you know, they are an amazing tag team, and I hope to get them out to, you know, Vegas soon for the CAC and whatnot. They were there like 2 years ago, I believe, and honestly, you know, it's just research. I didn't know where they came from, honestly, and we put them in a good match. It was good, but, like, I would have put them even in a better match if I would have known.
Yeah.
After seeing the work, I'm like, oh, man, they're awesome, you know, so I'm hoping to get them out here soon. Yourself, I appreciate the whole, you know, the info on respect, because a lot of people don't realize that, like, there's so much respect that comes into wrestling. This ain't a normal job, you know. It's like respect is earned, respect is, you know, given, and obviously you've been given that respect by, you know, Bubba and Devon and, you know, other people. And you know what? I didn't tell you a lot of information going into this interview because I didn't want to – I actually didn't want to prep you. I want you to be honest and do everything.
I like improvisation, flying off the cuff. It's cool. I'm good with it. That's
exactly.
What we learned.
So
we learned that.
Check this out.
They would do that to us.
Exactly. So check this out. Okay. So we do this – every show, by the way. We've been doing it for like a few weeks now because we started our show after somebody quit, of course. Go figure, right?
Right.
They were in the crowd, by the way, about a year and a half ago, and also we brought them into pro wrestling to let them film and whatnot, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's not good enough for them because we didn't pay them like they thought they deserved a year into the business. How does that work, huh? Go figure, huh? I know. I'm not going to even get into that, but, I mean, you know...
It's the
most
entertainment.
Of the business
it's
knows.
A revolving door. Everyone is replaceable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, wow. You just said exactly what I told people. But here's a good – this is going to be awesome. We have a little segment we call Ribbed for Your Pleasure. I know. Ribbed for Your Pleasure. And we do it every show. We've had some amazing stories. So here is my story for you.
Okay.
What is the best rib that was ever pulled on you or maybe you heard of that you can basically tell people live in front of the whole world on a radio show?
Ooh. I think it was actually, it wasn't even a rib. It was more like a, I guess it was a rib. It was the first time I ever did a road trip. It was with, we were going to Houston to Booker T school. And Bubba goes, all right, you guys are going to go to Booker T's. And we thought, okay, we're getting flown out. And, you know, we're these young kids and whatnot. And he goes, no, you're not flying. You're gonna drive. And we're like, oh, okay, so we're renting a car. He's like, nope, you got to find one. You can't rent one. And we're like, what? And then he goes, and this is, you know, a little further back before our phones were able to use GPS and whatnot, and he goes, and you're going to use a Rand McNally. So so we're like, this is crazy. How, there's going to be six of us in my in a van, you know. We got to find a van. So I convinced my mom to let me use her van, and we ended up all cramming into this van, traveling 15 hours. We thought we had a hotel. We didn't have a hotel. We all crammed into a Red Roof Inn, all of us, and I was the only female on the trip. I thought there was going to be another female. It's not that great of a rib, but it was definitely an eye-opener, and I became one of the boys on the trip, that's for sure. I saw somebody go to the bathroom in a trash can. I won't name any names.
It's awesome.
But the convenience store was so dirty that this one wrestler that I know and very well decided that taking a crap in a trash can was the better thing to do than use the toilet. But that was I think Bubba ribbing us, like bringing us up, I guess, loading respect. You gotta get a van. You can't rent it. You can't use a GPS. You gotta use a Rand McNally. And by the way, you don't have a hotel, so you gotta figure out that when you get there. But yeah, 15 hours there, 15 hours back. Six of us in my mom's van. That was a fun trip.
Yeah, and you know what? Funny thing is a lot of people, this ain't a normal job, you know?
No.
A lot of people, like I've talked to a few people, and I even had some ex-employees, like I was telling you, that were in the crowd a year and a half ago, and then they started questioning me on oh, this ain't how business works. Normal business, that's what they said. This is not how normal business works. I run a business, and this is how it works. Pro wrestling is not a normal business.
Yeah.
What you were just explaining is called paying your dues, and a lot of people forget about that. Like, this is exactly, and guess what? I mean, look where you went, you know? I mean, we're going to get to that right now. We only have a 45-minute interview, unfortunately, but
that's cool.
We're going to get to that because, you know what? It strengthened you, you know? It gave you a lot of strength. It gave you a lot of, you know, if you don't mind me saying, it gave you a lot of strength in this business. I mean, a lot of insights. I mean, the good news is you were getting trained by somebody that's been around for a long time and not somebody that's been in the business for a year or two, you know? I mean, the Dudleys are well represented and well respected in the business. I mean, I don't know if I have enough time to go about, you know, talk about their pro wrestling. You know, we just don't have enough time, you know? So
absolutely. They gave me the proverbial balls of steel. As a female
sure.
in this business, they gave me big ones. That right there, you know, being a female able to travel with five guys on the road, you know, of course they all respected me and wouldn't ever try anything or, you know, be stupid or anything like that because I could kill half of them. And actually three quarters of them. The other one would give me a run for my money, but I guarantee I'd still come out on top. But no, it's paying your dues and learning respect and that's what they all had to go through. And unfortunately, things are handed to people these days that, you know, shouldn't be handed to them. But I guess that's not my place to say. Everybody gets
their own way.
But
unfortunately. Yeah, unfortunately, it sucks. No, I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing. There's so many, you know, give and take, so to speak, you know. I mean, in my area, when I first started wrestling, I've been wrestling 15 years now, you know. There was not a school in my area. You know, the closest school is like 4 hours away. I had to drive 3 days a week for a year and a half, 2 years. But you know what? I earned my respect. I earned it because I had to drive, you know. But when I opened the school, you know, I opened the school locally, you know, I started training people and whatnot. I mean, obviously, 90% of those people probably wouldn't be a pro wrestler if it wasn't for our school being locally, because there's no way they were going to drive, you know, 3-4 hours like we had to, and like you said, we had to drive to Houston whatnot. I mean,
yeah, it's funny that you say that. I still, to this day, I've been in the business 7 years. I still drive an hour and a half to train over to the Dudley.
There you go.
I live south of Tampa, so you're never too good to drive. You know, I hate when people are like, "Oh, I'm not driving. That's way too far away." Well, if I'm getting my trans paid, yeah, I'll drive, but it's within reason. Yeah, I drive an hour and a half each way to get to training, no matter where I go. Because I go up to Jay Lethal School, and then sometimes I go up to an NWA-sanctioned school up to, in Newport Richey, and then sometimes I go over to the Dudleys. I hit any ring in Offa's. I go to Offa's as well, and that's a 2-hour drive to Offa school. So I just hit any ring I can, as much as I can. And, cause, you know, if I want to be the best, I have to be in a ring and be prepared. So.
Well, there you go. And that's exactly what we preach. We've been preaching this from when we started the radio show back up, because we had another host that actually hosted the radio show. And, you know, like I was telling you, they've actually never been in the business. They just got brought in because, you know, they were good in the camera and they were a fan and they hit us up. And, you know, they hit us up at the right moment and we needed a camera guy, you know. But
yeah.
They never knew the industry and they never knew, you know, how it was to pay the dues. And even Joseph Duncan, you know, our co-host, he wasn't a pro wrestler, but he's been helping out with pro wrestling for like 10 years, you know. So it's like he's been doing the PR work. He's been doing everything. He does our website. I mean, I can keep going
and you
on.
You learn.
Exactly. So, hey, so check this out. You know, I put online, you know this, the transformation of Rosie Lotilove to Andrea, wow. Like, how did that happen? I mean, I will give it to TNA because WWE would never have taken that risk, you know?
Yep.
It's not a risk in my opinion, but they would have never done that. But TNA actually went out of their way and took a risk, so to speak. You know, I don't mean that personally. It's just that's what, you know.
No, I agree 100%. That character, we'll call her, was mm-hmm. the brainchild of one Bubba Ray Dudley. She was born out of the AC/DC song Whole Lotta Rosie. Previous to that, I had done the movie The Warriors, a baseball gimmick where I was the great-granddaughter of Babe Ruth. I was going to talk about that, too, by the way,
the Babe Ruth gimmick. I was going to tell you about that. But, yeah, go for it. You're telling
Ruth.
Me now. I don't have to ask it.
I was Betsy Ruth when I first started out on the indie scene, and a lot of promoters didn't like that. And Bubba goes, we need to do something with you that nobody's doing right now. And I was like, okay. He's like, well, you're big. He's like, but the problem is the reason why I did the Betsy Ruth gimmick is because he goes, you have a pretty face. You can't be a heel and have a pretty face the way that you look. And I was like, oh, okay. And she goes, so you're going to paint your face. I was like, okay. So then he comes up with this Rosie Lotilove gimmick, and he goes, all right, this Rosie Lotilove gimmick will work. We're going to slap some giant blue eyeshadow on you, big red lips, lots of rouge, and put you in lingerie. How do you feel about that? And I looked at him like he had 83 heads. I said, Bubba, are you freaking kidding me? And he goes, nope, this is what you're going to do. And he played the song for me, and I was like, all right, I guess I got to do what I got to do. And then I embraced this character, and I have a performance background, so I came up with a whole background for her, and she was a whole lot of woman. And the song pretty much explains it as she's the 275-pound sex pot. She really thinks she was, and it was fun doing the role. I don't think it was used to its full extent on television at all, but that wasn't my.
Sorry to have to cut in, but we got about a minute and a half left of our regular time before we go into bonus time. So if you are listening online, call in right now, area code 646-929-2066. You can hear the rest of this conversation live. Otherwise, we will have it up in just a little bit on VendettaProWrestling.com. And we got about a minute left of our regular time, and then, of course, we'll go into our bonus time period. So sorry to have to cut in, but just making an announcement there.
No, you're cool. So then I wasn't used to my full extent, and then I got released from TNA, and it was actually a blessing in disguise. I got invited to Japan about a month and a half later, where I really, really flourished and learned a lot there. I worked with Chioko Inoue's company, Diana, in Japan. I did 7 tours over there, and I got to be in the main event with her every single show. And then I started tagging with Aja Kong, over there. We were Ichiban tag team. So following in the footsteps of Awesome Kong, I was the white girl version of Kong. I was out there ready to kick some ass and do what I could do. And they saw it in me the same way that they saw it in her. And they told me, they were like, you're like, and I was like, well, thank you. I'm very humbled by that. And so they took me under their wing. I trained when I was out there. I didn't have to. They didn't expect me to, but I did. I wanted to get in the ring and work with them and learn as much as I could. And I was out there for 7 tours, tagging with Aja Kong, working with Manami Toyota, Deb Matsumoto, Kyoko Noe, Zap T, Zap I, who are Ito-san, Kero Ito. My last show out there, I was actually supposed to go to Bull Nakano's retirement show a couple weeks later, but the show that I was in, I took a dive off of some scaffolding through a table. The table broke wrong, and it ruptured a cyst on my ovary, and so part of my ovary had ruptured while I was over there. So I flew back home. I didn't go to the hospital because I'm hardcore. And I went to the hospital once I got home, and they were like, yeah, this is not good. You can't take any more bumps at the weight that you're at, or else you'll hemorrhage. And so I had to come to a halting conclusion that it was time for me to, you know, hang up the boots and say I'm done wrestling. And I, through that, I had found out that I had a metabolic condition called polycystic ovary syndrome, which is not very well studied, but it is a condition that causes your hormones to be out of whack, and one of the side effects from polycystic ovary syndrome is obesity. And so I did some research on cystic ovary syndrome. Like I said, there's not a whole lot of research, so I went through a ton of medical journals and whatnot and saw, you know, what I could do to. I'd wondered why I could never lose weight training at the W's 5 days a week. I could never ever lose weight. So I figured out that the American Diabetic Association did some studies on some lab rats with polycystic ovary syndrome and found that giving the lab rats a vertical sleeve gastrectomy, which is bariatric surgery, basically they take part of your stomach out, was a cure, not a cure, would alleviate symptoms of polycystic ovary syndrome and would allow you to lose weight. And it's virtually the only way you can. There's maintenance drugs that you can go on that'll help you with symptoms and whatnot, but nothing fixes polycystic ovary syndrome. So I had surgery. They had to fix the rupture in my ovary. And while they were in there, they took out part of my stomach in June 2013. And then what I did was I was like, you know what? I have been given this opportunity. It was a blessing in disguise being injured and being, you know, being forced to retire, quote unquote. So I took this opportunity and I ran with it. I started working out as much as I possibly could. Nutrition was on point, and I had managed to lose over 130 pounds since June 2013. So I always came up with the excuse that, you know, going to the gym sometimes it was just like, ah, man, I'm too tired, too far away, I don't have the money to pay for the gym. So I put a gym in my garage. I have powerlifting stuff and like a body solid machine in there and free weights and an Olympic set and a power rack and everything all in there in the garage. So I have no excuses. And as you can see, I've put it to use and here I am.
And you know what? I'm going to say from every fan, I'm a fan of yours now. You know, I honestly knew you in TNA, but I didn't, you know the history. You know, I didn't know you came from 3D Academy and whatnot. As anybody that's trying to lose weight, myself as well, I mean, amazing, by the way. Wow. Like, a lot of people don't realize how hard it is. I mean, I could be the first to tell you. I mean, but, you know, I'm lazy. There's a big difference. You know, so I have a 14-year-old daughter, and, you know, there's no excuses. I just, you know, I'm lazy. But, you know, I try. But for you to sit there and, you know, have to do that, I mean, considering that you retired, so to speak, you know, and as someone who has performed in Japan, you know, and it takes a lot of work to wrestle with the Japanese women. I was actually blessed to me and another wrestler of mine, his name's Nathan Rules, we went to Japan, and the first day or second day we got there, they wanted us to work out with the women wrestlers. So I'm like, and then I started seeing their workout, you know, and I'm like, there is nothing I could show them, you know.
Nope.
I was like, wow, there is nothing I could show them that's going to help them. I mean,
I was doing this at 317 pounds, I was doing their workout.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. I mean, they were there yeah. on the aprons doing the sit-ups. They were running and doing the I'm sure you know this. They were running and doing the where they jump to the first, second, third rope, top rope, and they backflip mm-hmm. sometimes. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was telling my guy, I'm like, I am not going to show him anything. The only thing I'll be able to show him is maybe some charisma. Or I don't know. I honestly, I was like, I was blown away. But you know what? They
yeah.
were so respective towards us for being there. I think if I remember right, we stayed a night in the dojo a couple nights, and then we ended up blowing to Hokkaido, which is an island on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty amazing, you know. And I was like, wow. You know, it was like, I have so much respect for the Japanese culture. You know, I tried to learn Japanese as I went there. Of course, you know, guess what? I didn't learn it from a DVD. I didn't learn it from a CD. When I got over there, that's when I learned most of my Japanese, you know.
Yeah,
like,
you
wow,
learned it by
yeah.
being surrounded in it.
Yeah, so that was pretty amazing. And then, it was pretty amazing. I can't wait. They're talking about me going back to Japan this year, but, you know, we'll see. At this point, my career is getting close to winding down, but, you know, I do more of the promoting side, so to speak, you know. And like I was saying, I think we have about 8 minutes left for the radio show, but, like, okay, so check this out. I was in Australia with Hulk Hogan. We did this tour called the Hulkamania Tour in Australia, maybe like 2009. And, you know, a lot of stars were on there. In fact, it was the last show that Umaga performed on but passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a star on the show. He was maybe only a manager, but he is one of the biggest stars, in my opinion, in pro wrestling. His name's Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hart.
I love him.
He had a company, you know, he helped work for a company called Wrestlelicious. Was it true that you were on Wrestlelicious? And maybe give a little bit of insights on that, because Jimmy Hart is awesome, by the way. And I got to work with him a few times, and I went to breakfast with him a few times in Australia, and he was awesome. So maybe give a little insights on Wrestlelicious.
Yes, I was in Wrestlelicious. it was fun. Jimmy is awesome. He's like, hey, baby, how's it going? And he would always come up and hug me, always just, you know, be so sweet, so kind, so respectful. And he didn't have to be. And that's one thing I love about him is it's like, who am I for you to come up to me and you know, hug me and just give me all this love? One thing that I had when I was larger and I still have is the ability to work on the mic. So, I have a performance background, so I can cut a promo. I do improv. I still, you know, perform and act and sing and dance and all that nonsense. And so they were like, "We're going to use you, but we don't want you to wrestle." And I was like, "Okay." They're like, "Did you ever watch Glow?" And I was like, "No, not really, but I know what it is." And they're like, "Okay, great. We're going to have you be a nun." And I was like, "What?" They're like, "You're going to be Sister Ophelia, and you're going to manage the naughty girls." And I was like, "Fantastic." So I channeled my inner nun, which if you know me, you know that's really funny. I was this over-the-top, crazy, slap-you-on-the-knuckles Sister Ophelia who just managed the naughty girls, and those were the bad girls. And it was a lot of fun. I got to cut some promos, work with Jimmy. Jimmy loves my promos. It was refreshing. So I could play a character, that's for sure. And I did on Wrestlelicious. We only did it a couple times, didn't really go anywhere. But it was a lot of fun. It was probably the most fun I've had in wrestling.
You know, and Wrestlelicious is, it was only like around for a little while. Let's hope it comes back. I mean, I hear rumors all the time, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Hart, I mean, that guy... A lot of people don't realize, like, he made a lot of the music back in the day for WWF. He's a good singer. I mean, I remember being, you know, we were talking, and he was telling me all the little scenarios and all the singing and all that stuff. I'm like, wow, that was Jimmy Hart. I never knew, you know? And
yeah, he's so instrumental. Like, when I was with TNA, he was there as well because Hogan was there. And he would just always be like, hey, baby, how's it going? And I was just like, Jimmy, I'm just having a bad day. Because, I mean, it wasn't anybody's fault but my own, I guess, that I let it get to me. But a lot of stuff I just got really down about because I knew I was a better wrestler than what they were allowing me to do. I knew I was a better performer than what they were allowing me to do. I came up with storylines and whatnot. I was like, Jimmy, I'm just really down. He's like, baby girl, it all works out. It all works out.
You'll never get down once you're around Jimmy Hart, though. You'll never stay down. Let's put it that way, yeah.
Yeah, he would always bring me back up, and I was like, I love talking to you. I knew I could always talk to my trainers, but at that point we were colleagues, and it was kind of weird. So getting an outsider's perspective, especially from Jimmy Hart, phenomenal. And it was the time that I got to spend with him was invaluable, and I really hope to, you know, see him and work with him again soon.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Hart, like I said, I mean, we go way back with the Australian tour, and he was awesome. And like I said, I knew Jimmy Hart, but I didn't know him that well until we started going to breakfast every day and, you know, this and that. And I'm like, man, this guy, he goes out of his way, you know, to make you feel like, you know, wanted, I guess you can say, you know, like.
Yeah.
Because,
you know,
I mean,
you know
I was.
Refreshing about him? He's genuine, and that's so hard to find in this business. He's absolutely 100% genuine. He's not trying to get over. He doesn't have to. He legitimately wants everyone to, you know, everyone who he, you know, puts a stamp of approval on to prosper and do well and be happy and have fun doing this. Because, you know, if we're not having fun, then what's the point? I always say that. If I'm not having fun, what the hell's the point of doing it? So.
Totally,
not for
yeah,
the money.
And like, but totally, like, you're right. Yeah, he was so cool about everything. I mean, me and my tag team partner, we were actually the only wrestlers that didn't have TV exposure on the Hulkamania tour in Australia. You know, we have people like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan and Mr. Kennedy, and I mean, Brutus Beefcake. I mean, the list goes on, and we were the only guys that were like not, you know, on TV regularly. So we were like. You know, we're nobodies technically, but to Jimmy, you know, Hart, we were somebody because we're on the tour, and he made us feel special about why we're there and whatnot. And in fact, I mean, you mentioned Hulk Hogan being in TNA. I mean, after that tour, I would say at least half the roster ended up joining TNA.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty amazing, you know, and it was a privilege to be on the tour. And, you know, I think Knox Pro and Rikishi and all those guys for get us on the tour. I mean, it was amazing. And the great news is like you were saying, you build relationships, you know. I mean, Jimmy Hart, you're never going to forget Jimmy Hart. And I'm hoping to get him on a radio show. I just haven't had a chance. I know he'll, if I contact him, he'll do it. I'll be honest. Like, you know, we're all busy and,
yeah.
You know, let me say that maybe we have only 3 minutes left. We are actually doing a show in Las Vegas at the Gold Coast Casino. I want to keep getting this out there. It's a free show. You can't get much better than free. Guys like Jake the Snake Roberts, Sin Bodhi, Justin Thunder Liger, Johnny Devine. You mentioned Johnny Devine. I mean, we got so many people that are on the show, including yourself, including Santana Garrett. This starts April 12th at the Gold Coast Casino. The doors open at 5:30. Show starts at 6:30. It's a free show. How can you get much better than that? I keep mentioning all these names. We keep putting all these little pictures out of, you know, flyers and whatnot. So we only have a couple minutes left. Can you do me a favor and maybe give the fans a way to get a hold of you on Twitter, Facebook, and maybe plug, you know, the Cauliflower Alley Convention Pro Wrestling Shows?
Absolutely. Guys, make sure you come out April 11th and 12th to the Cauliflower Alley 50th Reunion Convention. April 12th and 13th. Sorry, I'm blanking on the 11th. April 12th and 13th to the Cauliflower Alley 50th Anniversary Convention. Come see Vendetta Pro Wrestling put on the Casino Royale, where I'm going to win the Sean Lunacy Cup. I'm going to whip the ass of all the other competitors in the ring with me, and I'm going to come out on top because that's what I do. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Rosie_LottaLove. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's MKD117. I have a Facebook page called Andrea, formerly known as Rosie LottaLove. And if you guys want some training and you're not in California, you're in the Florida area, visit the Team 3D Academy, team3dacademy.com, and check us out. We're down there. You're going to get trained by the Dudleys, some of the best in the business. And give some love to my friends over at Vendetta Pro as well.
Hey, man. Hey, so thank you for coming on. Hey, just so you know, I want to give you this out if it hopefully makes it on the radio show. One person that put you over really well, by the way, is Tokyo Monster Kihagas. I know we can keep going for another 15 minutes on Tokyo Monster, but he puts you over big time. So a shout-out to him. Thank you, Andrea, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
We appreciate it and look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks. We haven't met in person, but, you know, we're going to see each other really soon. And hopefully you take home that Lunacy Cup. Thank you for everybody listening. Vendetta Pro on Twitter, VendettaProWrestling.com on our website, and on our Facebook. Look up Vendetta Pro Wrestling. Keep sharing the flyer. It's a